We know every morning we get up and you wash Nego Batzer. How do you wash Nego Batzer? You get a cup. First thing you do when you get up in the morning is you say Modani. You don't have to wash Nego Batzer for Modani. And afterwards you get a cup. And then from this cup, you fill it up and you wash three or preferably four times in each hand. Right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left. So this is a mitzvah derabbanan for everybody to wash until Sidaim. And how much of the yad do you have to wash? The whole thing. From the beginning, from the tip of the fingers until the end of the hand. Some people in Europe, they just wash the tips of their hands like people do in Mayim Achronim. I think that's correct. Because Nego Vasser literally means nail water. So they thought, oh, you're only washing, but it's near nails. So there was a nail. But that's not, like nails. Oh. But it's really not. It's really, you have to wash your whole hand.
You know? I'm sorry, you're not allowed to get dressed before you wash
it. Right, so ideally, one should not touch anything until you wash Nego Batzer. And even one has to go to the bathroom first. If you really got to go, then you go. And if you don't really got to go, then first you wash Nego Batzer. That's really the first thing. Ideally, you should have it by your bed.
I learned that halacha is unless he said you should wash your hands quickly.
Yeah.
Just don't without a bracha.
Yeah.
Go to the bathroom. And then
if you have to go, you're not allowed to hold it in. So there's a machlokes why you have to wash your hands. So according to the Rosh, it's because your hands are busy and they touch unclean places. You know, whenever you touch something that's not clean, that's normally, like, let's say you touch your armpits or a place in your body that's normally covered, which usually gets sweaty and isn't so clean, you have to wash until it's sidaim. Because I see people sitting and learning and they're scratching their heads. So scratching your head is mechayev until it's sidaim. You have to wash after scratch it. And sometimes they're touching their shoes. So touching shoes also mechayev until it's sidaim. Or sometimes they're sticking their hand inside their shirt and they're scratching their back. So that's also mechayev until sidaim. So when you wake, when you went to sleep at night, you have to assume that when you were sleeping, your hands touched unclean places. Yes, yeah.
If you touch your shoes or something else, aren't you allowed to like wipe your hands on wood?
Right, if there's no water around, then you can wipe your hands on wood. But you should knock on wood because that's a avodah zarah. Okay, and they would say, knock on wood, as if it's going to stop whatever you're worried about. But if you have no water, then you can wipe them on something that cleans. But if you have water, you should wash your hands with water. So again, you get up in the morning. If you gotta go, I don't know if I stressed this enough before. In general, there's an iser in the Gemara, based on the Chumash, based on the word of Hashem, called Baal Tashaktsu. So Baal Tashaktsu means don't do disgusting things. So one disgusting thing is holding it in. You're not allowed to hold it in. If a person has to go to the bathroom, they have to go right away. And that means that one's also not allowed to learn Torah, one's not allowed to say Shem Hashem. Whenever you have to go, then you go, you don't hold it in. So you see, already somebody's being mekayim that halacha. Now, what does it mean having to go? So it means really having to go. It doesn't mean, you know, like at any time, you know, when you're, I don't know if you guys are ever in the Olympics, but I remember when I was a gymnast in the Olympics, I was like an 11-year-old girl. I was like 4'8". So when I was a gymnast in the Olympics, they did drug testing. Because not to see if the athlete is taking drugs, but to determine exactly what drugs the athlete is taking. So they did drug testing, and they found out, and when you do that, so you have to give a sample. So if you give a sample, you don't really have to go. Whenever you have to give a sample, you just give. So a lot of times you can go if you really, really wanted to, you know, if they pay you enough, if you're going to be on national television for the Olympics. But we're talking about when you have to go, when you have a service to go, you really have to go, so then you're not allowed to hold it in, and you're not allowed to bench, and you're not allowed to daven, and you're not allowed to learn. You just go, you take care of your needs. Jewish people are very, very clean people. That's why we have this notion, I mean, that's not why only, but could be suggested that one of the reasons we have this notion of a mikvah, and first a woman has to be very clean before she goes to the mikvah. So a man goes to the mikvah, so mikvah is clean, and until Sidaim, we wash our hands before we eat, and we have an inyan of v'kisisa tse'asecha, the Torah says that you should walk around with a pen. I don't know why nobody here walks around with a shovel, but it says in the Torah you have to walk around with a shovel, because when you're in the field and you go, you have to cover up your waist. Thank you. So today we don't have that, because today we have something called a toilet bowl. So that already takes care of the waste. But it's interesting that nobody keeps that walking. I've even seen the firmest guy I've seen.
Never
walk around. Right. So not everybody.
We should get some shots.
Not everybody. That's why I always thank God for Hicks. You know, whenever I say Shalos Ani Goy, I'm happy I'm not a Goy, but those, when I used to go to camp, and they would have those hicks wearing their, you know, those, what do they call those, overall, like the jeans from the bottom to the top, and the baseball cap, and they were always just a little heavy set, and their names had names like Frank and Paul, so they would always clean the stuffed toilets, and you want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for them. So that's the inyan. So you're not allowed, whenever there's something dirty there, when there's any tzoa around, you're not allowed to learn. Like sometimes I'm sitting and learning. Siyata Dishmaya, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives me the biggest chus in the world. And not only can I learn Torah, but I can learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael. And I'm holding my daughter on my lap. I have a daughter named Adina. Adina is she's turning 16 very soon. And she's sitting on my lap, and then all of a sudden, there's a funny smell. 16 months, by the way. So all of a sudden, there's a, obviously, right out the way, you know, it's, so all of a sudden, there's a funny smell. It's not really so funny. But it's mamish, like I say to her, you're a chefza of an Isra Daraisa. So right now, she only knows the words mommy, abba, and cookie. So chefza of an Isra Daraisa is a little bit too brisk for her. But it means that now it's usher to learn Torah in her presence. Why? Because she's not cooked, because there's a dirty smell, because there's waste in the area. So whenever there's waste in the area, you're not allowed to learn. There's even a shaila about doing mitzvahs. What?
You're not allowed to make a bracha.
No, bracha is right. So sometimes we're about to bench at home, like on Shabbos, and then all of a sudden, you know, my wife usually has a better sense of smell. Most women, I think, have a better sense of smell for these things than the men. Men, it could be, you know, they could be smelling to high heaven. Sometimes the husband won't notice. At least me, I know. Usually I don't notice. But the white woman's, oh, we can't bench. The baby's this. So sometimes, you know, you change them or whatever.
I think we choose not to notice.
What?
I think we choose not to notice.
We choose not to notice, right. Right. We're hoping they'll smell it. It's like when the baby wakes up in the middle of the night. There's always a debate. And it's a shame you guys will get married and you don't know who's supposed to wake up and take care of the baby. So there's a pasuk, Baruch Hashem, that we say every day before Ashrei. Rabbos machshavos b'levish. Like the baby wakes up and you're thinking. Rabbos machshavos. You're thinking a lot of thoughts in your heart. And should I get up? That's the right thing to do. I'll let my wife sleep more. She works hard. She takes care of the home. She's a good woman. On the other hand, I'm really, really tired. And she does a better job at it than me anyway. So let her do it. No, it's really not right. I should do it. No, let her do it. And then all of a sudden, what was the pasuk Gandalf by saying? V'atzas Hashem. What's the Eitz of Hashem? He sakum. So you conclude that the Eitz of Hashem is that Pihitakum. She should get up. She should get up. But that's not really the pasuk shot in the pasuk.
That is not it. To tell this to
you. It's not. You don't have to share this. But that's what we decided in our own. No. Literally, the pasuk means that the Eitz of Hashem, she will arise, and meaning whatever God wants to happen will happen. But it could also mean that the Eitz of Hashem is that she, the woman, the wife, should get up. But that's just it's just a funny play on words. It's just a joke to keep you awake on a Wednesday afternoon because people are tired because they didn't sleep enough last night and they didn't sleep during the break because they were busy running after a piece of cow's hide. Anybody run after a cow's hide during the break? And according to that's called basketball. Like basketball, isn't it? Okay, and that's the Makomos HaMechusim, that's the touching. So therefore we're very clean. We like to stay clean. So when you wake up in the morning, you start off by being clean. Clean is very good. And then you do read on.
Isn't there another opinion?
Clean is good. We're going before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's good to be clean.
That was the second opinion?
That's the first opinion. And the Rashba says, because every morning you're like a new person.
Yes.
And like a Kohen who works in the Beis HaMikdash, you should, he washes, you should also watch. When the Kohen works in the Beis HaMikdash, he does Kiddush Yad HaVeraglav. Right? There's a faucet in the Beis HaMikdash. He puts his hands and his feet under the faucet. And Chazal were mitaken Rechitzas Yadayim Kodem HaTfila, which is instead of Karbana. So we wash our hands just like the Kohen does it before he does his Avodah. So before we do our Avodah, before we do our Tfila, we wash our hands. By the way, you have to wash your hands before every Tfila. So before you daven Mincha, you should wash your hands. Before you daven Maariv. But it's not so knowing. So if you start doing it, there's not a long line for the sink. V'tignu chazal, and what's the nafkamina? What's the nafkamina between the two reasons? In other words, we have two reasons why we wash, we just mentioned. We have the reason of the rush, which is that your hands touch something dirty overnight. And then we have the reason of the rashba, that you're a new person in the morning. So what's the practical difference? When would one apply and one not apply? So one would apply and one would not apply if you sleep with gloves. You sleep with gloves. Because if you sleep with gloves, you're not touching anything. You're not touching anything.
Your hands will probably get sweaty, and therefore they should be cleaned.
you're not touching anything, and but you're a birya chadasha, you're a new person. So as far as the touching, you don't have to worry about it. But you're becoming a new person.
If you know you're becoming a new person, then do you have to wash them throughout the day?
No. You became a new person just in the morning. And or let's say you slept in your clothing. When I was a kid, I figured, why take the trouble of getting undressed at night and then getting dressed in the morning so I can just sleep in my clothing? My parents thought that was weird, but it made all the sense in the world to me when I was a kid. Perfect. So me and Shlomo Zalman think alike. So let's say you do that, so you can assume you didn't touch anything. Or let's say you didn't sleep.
I remember coming to school in pajamas, but I don't remember, like, you know.
No, instead of putting on pajamas and then putting on clothes.
Sometimes I think people should. Sometimes I think people should come to cheer in pajamas because they sleep so much.
Amen.
So, let's say you didn't sleep the whole night. So then the Til Sidayim becomes a problem in the morning making a bracha. So according to the Rush, you don't have to. What?
What's considered the whole night?
The whole night. If you were up the whole night.
Oh.
So that's why we usually try to do is we try to find somebody who slept, and then they're motzias and all the brachas in the morning. According to the Rush, you don't have to wash your hands if you were wearing gloves or if you stayed up the whole night. And according to the Rashba, then you would, because it could be that every morning you become. It could be even not after you sleep. It could be even in the morning after you. That could be debatable. Are you a birya chadasha if you didn't sleep? So and then
what?
And then there's certain brachas. Yes, certain brachas. No, it's better to have somebody making the brachas for you.
I was flying here with my friends. We had a stop over, down the tracks there, like, you didn't sleep on a plane, you know what I'm saying, right?
If you didn't sleep, then it's better to have somebody say it for you.
Yeah.
And, now, we know all the brachas, you always say the bracha before you do it, right? Before you do the mitzvah, you make the bracha. What do we call that in Talmudics?
Logic.
Over lasiyasa. Over Lasiyasin. It's a Gemara in Pesachim. I'm sure all of you learned Pesachim in high school, elementary school. So, Over Lasiyasin means before. Over means before. Before you do, you make the bracha. That's why before you put on your tefillin, you make the bracha. Before you put on your tzitzis, you make the bracha. Before you do any mitzvah, you make the bracha. There are two famous exceptions to the rule. One of them is tefillah, going to mikvah. You only make a bracha after, some say, and also certainly a ger, and also.
What is it in tefillah?
Tevila.
Oh, tevila.
Going into immersing yourself in a mikvah.
What do you say, bracha?
They have mikvahs in Detroit, Andrew.
What? Supposed to say
they have mikvahs in Detroit. Great.
The JCC swimming pool.
So you are supposed to say a bracha if your name would be Yonina and not Yoni. Women make a bracha. Men don't make a bracha when they go to mikvah.
Oh,
I'm saying Erev Yom Kippur, when you go to mikvah, you make a bracha, but we don't make a bracha when we go to mikvah. But women do. And the other din is the Til Sidayim. Why? Because you're not pure before. You're making the bracha after you become pure. Hands aren't pure.
What about Halakas Neiros?
Halakas Neiros you make before.
You make before you light that?
Yeah. So that's so that's already a big machlokas in Ashkenazim and Sfarad and Radia's long tshuvas about them. That's why some people cover their eyes only to get Hana afterwards. Some people don't. So that's already.
Isn't that like the cause?
You can write a whole book just
like
on the question
of
what
to make
while
lighting.
No, you light.
So the most important part of Hadlakas Neiros Shabbos is to put a doily on your head. That was the minhag amongst the
women. Put a what?
A doily. The women in the 70s. In the 70s.
It's a doily.
A doily. It wasn't so popular.
White thingy.
It wasn't so popular to cover your hair in the 1970s.
Oh.
Many people.
You
so
that, like,
many women today, every one of your mothers, of course, covers
their
hair.
Toilet,
your wives are going to cover their hair. But that back then, a lot of women didn't, so they would put on this little doily, which had a lot of holes in it, and then they'd light the Shabbos candles, and they'd make that thing with their hands like this, which the kids understand to me, be quiet, I'm about to make a bracha, and that's that. Okay, so what we do now is, we first wash our hands, so now we're pure, now we're ready to make the bracha. We don't have to make it right away. You can make it. We make it once we get to shul. In the olden days, they didn't know how to make brachas, and they didn't have sidurim, so they made it in shul, so... Somebody made it in shul, so we make it in shul. Okay, so that's just a little bit of halachic background on doing washing negovasser in the morning. It's very interesting. Every year when I used to go to yeshiva, there were always boys who never heard of that. So it's a good thing to know, in case you never heard of washing in the morning, alatil sidayim. It's good to know this halacha, that you wake up in the morning, and you're not allowed to learn before you wash, and you're not allowed to daven, and you're not allowed to make brachas. It's very important to wash your hands. Have clean hands. So how do we start off the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim? Who knows the first word of the bracha?
Baruch.
guys are like Oni Allah. It's just unbelievable, you know. So we start off the bracha, Baruch. So how do Hasidim start off the bracha? Burich. But it's the same idea. Bu, ba. We start off every bracha with the word Baruch. So Baruch, it's a little bit funny to start off a bracha with the word Baruch, because what does Baruch mean?
Blessed.
Who's blessed?
Art thou Hashem.
Blessing.
Art thou,
yeah.
Hashem. Whatever, the Lord, whatever they call him. I don't like to call him the Lord, because in English they're always making people lords. This guy's who makes a Lord. That guy's made a Lord. Lord this, exactly. I'm saying, so once he's Lord, then the God's also Lord, then the Romans. So what point am I trying to make? That it's a little bit funny that you're giving God a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem. What do you have to give God a bracha for? God needs your brachas. You ever go to a tzaddik and mitzvah Hashem, you'll be zochah this year. If you're smart and you take advantage of retirement Eretz Israel, you'll try to meet tzaddikim. That's one of the things that I'm very happy that I did, and happy that unfortunate that I didn't do. I regret that when I was young, I wish I lived in America. I would have gone. All I had to do was take a train downtown. In 25 minutes, I'm in Rav Moshe Feinstein's house. And I could have seen Rav Moshe Feinstein. I could have gotten a bracha from Moshe Feinstein. I could have heard a shir from Moshe Feinstein. But I never did. I never appreciated Moshe Feinstein. So I never took the train downtown to see Moshe Feinstein. I could have taken the bus to Muncie. You can get a bus on 47. See Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, was one of the Gedolei Hador. Could have gotten a bracha from Rabbi Yaakov. What? No, I didn't. But if I would have taken the bus, then I would have been there also. So there is. You should have seen Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, except for the fact that he died long before you were born. But I was still around, Baruch Hashem. I was already born then. I was 14 or so. So I should have gone to see these Gedolim. I should have gone to see other Gedolim. So when I was in Eretz Yisrael already, I remember I went to see Shlomo Zalman Auerbach a few times, so Zocher. And I went, I asked him Shilas, and I asked Rabbi Yashiv Shilas. So now we also have Tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael. It's good to go to Tzaddikim. And you can see the way they act, and daven with them, and listen to Shiur from them. It's worthwhile. I mean, all the Rabbeim and Yeshiva are also Tzaddikim. But I'm saying world famous Tzaddikim, there are walking around there, it's Israel.
The more you see, the better you get.
What? Rav Asher Weiss does. Rav Asher Weiss is probably one of the most popular Rabbanim alive. He knows Kol HaShas and Kol HaPoskim. He knows everything. So he gives Shurim, I think, on Sunday night. He gives in English. And you can hear from him. And I'm sure there are other big Rabbanim. Maybe he's there also. Or he's elsewhere. But it's better to see him in person. Then you can see the person in person, and you can look at him, and you can connect his neshama. But also to get brachas from many, many big Gedolei Torah that are. You have Bel Fravarsky, the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich, is one of the biggest Rosh Yeshivas alive today. You can get a bracha from other people. So it's Kedai. You go away for Shabbos. So it's worthwhile being in places of holy people. I remember once I went to Panovich for Shabbos, and I saw Rav Shach. I saw all the Kavod people giving, the Kavod HaTorah people gave Rav Shach. So Rav Shach was like 100 years of Amal HaTorah, person who spent, you know, from the time he was very young, all of his years just learning and learning and learning. He's a holy person. So it's Kedai. So you go to a Rav and you get a Bracha. You go to a Rav and you get a Bracha. So he gives you a Bracha. He's a tzaddik, he gives you a Bracha. So it's weird that we're giving a Kodesh Baruch Hu a Bracha. Baruch, anybody ever think about that? By a show of fingers? Good, Baruch Hashem, everybody has fingers. You thought of that? Like, what is this Baruch? Great, Zach is thinking. God is thinking. Gavaldi. So what is this Baruch Atah Hashem? Hashem, you're blessed. I give you a Baruch Hashem. So what's Hashem? Hashem is sitting up there saying, yo man, thanks. What is Hashem? Hashem needs your brachas. Hashem can manage on his own. A bracha can't hurt, but Hashem, it also can help. I want a bracha. I want parnasa. I want good health. I want good children. I want a lot of things. So I need brachas. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu lacks nothing. So what's this whole inyan of Baruch Atah Hashem? So some people say that Baruch Atah Hashem means that you're the makor of all brachas. It doesn't mean that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is, you're giving him a bracha. You're saying that Hashem is the source of all bracha. You, Hashem, are the source of all bracha. Problem is, the Pasuk in Tehillim, this is Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab is the Rav in Adas Yeshurun in Washington Heights. Before, first he was a Rav in Germany, and then he came to America. He died about 20 years ago. So he writes...
His grandson was in my class.
And his grandson was in Gab's class. Can you imagine?
He's a great guy.
And he's a great guy. So does he speak German?
No, he doesn't.
No. It's not an important language to speak. He says, Avarcha es Hashem. I will bless Hashem. So that doesn't imply that Hashem is the source. You say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Hashem, you're the source of bracha. Okay. What does it mean? Avarcha, it's a pasuk of Tehillim. Avarcha es Hashem. I will bless Hashem. How do you bless Hashem? Who am I? Who am I? There's an expression, I am dust under his feet. I'm so small, I'm dust under my own feet. So I'm just, if I'm really dust, then I don't have feet. So what's the pshat that I will bless Hashem? Ve'anachnu nevarech. What's going on? We're giving Hashem a bracha. So we could possibly answer, says Rishwab, that this bracha is milashon goldel v'ribui. Like it says, uberach es lachmucha ve'es meimecha. That Hashem should bless your bread and your water. And that's what they say. They say somebody is very blessed. When you say somebody is very blessed, right? You don't mean that you're not giving him a bracha. You're saying that he has a lot of bracha. That all the greatness comes from him. So we're saying, Baruch Ato Hashem, we're saying that Hashem should be Mizbarech. Like he should have this, it's actually interesting, if you think about it, if anybody ever knows Gematrias, so what are the double letters? What are the only letters that are double the previous letter? So what's Aleph? How much is Aleph worth in Gematria?
One.
How much is Bay's worth? Two. How many times do you have to do one to get to two?
Twice.
So two is double of one. So that's a Bay's. And then, Gimel Dalet Hevav Zayin Ches, stop me when I get to one. Tes, Yud, Chaf, stop me. Yud, Chaf. Chaf, how much is Yud?
Hey, Yud.
How much is Yud? No, I'm saying one after the next.
Zero.
Back to back. 10. Yud is 10. How much is Chaf?
20.
So Chaf is like a doubling of Yud. And then, how much is Chaf? Does anybody here know the alphabet? What comes after Chaf? Lamed.
Mem.
Nun. Samach. Ayin Pei. Fei. Reish.
Kuf.
Sadi. Kuf. Reish. Shin. Tav. Oh! Baruch Hashem. We know the alphabets. So how much is Kuf? 100. How much is Reish?
200.
So now let's review. What are the three letters that double the previous letter? Beis, Chaf, and Reish. So that spells Bechor. It also spells Barech. Now how much, by the way, does the Bechor get?
Double.
So now it works out perfectly. The Bechor gets double because he's Beis, Chaf, Reish. No, he's Beis, Chaf, Reish because he gets double. So that's why the Bechor is called the Bechor, and that's why, what was the whole story with Yaakov and Esav? What was Yaakov trying to get? The
double.
Bracha. Right, he was trying to get the bracha. And that's bracha what Esav and that's what Esav cried afterwards. First you stole my Bechor, and now you stole my bracha. Or you took my bracha. First Lakachas Bechorasi, Behenata Lakachas Birchasi. And the two of them are related. Because what is bracha? Bracha is always ribui. Bracha is always more than you had. It's expansion. That's always the beis, the reish, the chaf, the double. That's the bracha. So a bechor gets the bracha. So we're saying Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're mivorach. We're saying that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, your name, your greatness, your fear and love and everything about you should be mizbarech. It should be extended, expanded into the world. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing when we're saying Kaddish. Yizgadol v'yizgadash Shmei Rabba. Right, we're saying that God's name should be great. We're saying God's name should be great. So what do we answer? Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach. We want God's name to be blessed. Meaning we're first asking God's name should be great. And then we're saying, yeah, that should be Mizbarach. That should expand into the world. And that's what we have a famous Gemara, Maseches Brachos, one of the more mystical Gemaras. If you ever really want to learn Jewish mysticism, if you ever had a taiva to learn Kabbalah, the best place to start is in Maseches Brachos. Because in Maseches Brachos and Daf and Perek Rishon, they have a lot of agaditas. So those agaditas are all, they have a revealed meaning, and they also have a hidden meaning. So what's the revealed meaning? For that you can learn Pashut, you can learn with the Art Scroll translation. And what's the hidden meaning? So the hidden meaning, you learn the more Pnimius Tikasvarim, and they'll show you some of the secrets that inhere in those Gemaras. Bichlal, if you want to get to mysticism, you don't have to go to the Zohar, you can really start in Chumash. You learn the Chumash with certain Perushim, and they'll show you how the Chumash is also replete with Kabbalah, obviously, and can be understood also on a simple level, but also on a Kabbalistic level. And you also can learn Gemara. You learn Gemara with the right Mepharshim, and they'll show you the secrets of creation. But in order to do that, you have to be a little bit, you have to be miskadesh, and you have to be mistire. The reason the secret of Torah is called sod is because it's even after you tell somebody, it remains a sod. In other words, some people just don't chap. Even after you explain it to them, because you have to be on a certain madrega. But anyway, it says there in the Gemara, in one of the more clearly mystical Gemaras, that Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks for a bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yishmael b'ni barcheini. So Avram Fried made a song out of the Gemara about 20 years ago, so that enabled people to learn this Gemara. If they would just make a song out of every Pasuk in Chumash and every Gemara, so then people would know a lot more Pasukim and a lot more Gemaras. So he says, give me a bracha. And what was the bracha that he gave him? Yiratzin she'agolu rachamecha al midosecha. That you should have a lot of rachamim. You should have a lot of rachamim on all of your and all those that you created, and all the people that you created, so that the prominent midah of yours should be rachamim. In other words, your rachamim should extend. That's giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu a bracha. Giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu a bracha is not that he needs your bracha, but we have a lot of power. That's the Nefesh HaChaim, since Ruach HaChaim V'Lashoner. It's another place, the sefer that you can all learn if you want to learn Kabbalah. It's called Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim was written by the Talmud of the Gra, Ruach HaChaim V'Lashoner, and it's a book filled with Kabbalah, and it also talks a lot about the importance of learning Torah. So in that sefer he says that we say Tnu Oz Lelokim. What does it mean, Tnu Oz Lelokim? Give power to God. How do you give power to God? You say every day, by the way, that's this year. This year is Tavshin Ayin Vav. What's Tavshin Ayin Vav? Tehei Shnas Oz V'Chedva. Tavshin Ayin Vav Tehei Shnas. It should be a year of strength and happiness. Okay? So a lot of people I know want to get married, so I do a different Rashi Tevis. Tehei Shnas Eidim V'Kiddushin. You need witnesses and Kiddushin. So once you have the Vav, you can just get something for the Ayin, and then with the Vav you can basically do whatever you want, because it just means and. So you can say Oz V'Chedva. So what's the Oz V'Chedva? So what's Oz? How do you give God strength? How do you make God strong? So Mukubalim teaches us that we can empower God. How do we empower God? We empower God by keeping Torah mitzvahs. That's why recently there was a rabbi today. It's a good generation. It's the best generation ever, and it's the worst generation ever. It's the best generation. It's the worst generation ever because of the internet. And it's the best generation ever because of the internet. It's the worst generation ever because of 99.99999% of what's on there. But it's also very good because a lot of times you can see tzaddikim talking. You can see them in live color and you can hear the words from their mouths. And afterwards people can't make up what they said or what they didn't say because it's all on video. And not only that, when somebody says something that he shouldn't have said, he also can't deny it afterwards. I was misquoted because it's on video. So a few days ago, there was a rabbi, a well-known rabbi, who got up and said, that people say that now that we have this intifada and the Arabs are starting up with us, what we have to do, and then he started imitating the voice of like Haredi rabbis. He said, and what we have to, I saw the video, and what we have to do is learn a lot of Torah. So he gets up and he goes, he says, Shtuyot b'mitzak vaniyot. Shtuyot b'mitzak vaniyot is a modern Hebrew expression. It means absolute nonsense. Literally, nonsense in tomato juice. But in modern Hebrew, they say, Shtuyot b'mitzak vaniyot. So what's the pshat? What is he saying? So he's saying, what he was saying was not only nonsense, but it was also kfira. Why was it? What did he say? He went weiter and he said, now what do we have to do with manazeh? What do we have to do with manazeh? He said, you have to learn Krav Maga. You know Krav Maga is? It's like Israeli self-defense. I once learned. I was once in camp, and they had an Israeli come for the summer, and he taught us Krav Maga. So he said, if you learn Krav Maga, that's what you have to do now that the Intifada started. So I'm sort of thinking, you know, let's say like at the central bus station there was an attack, an Arab stabbed a 7-year-old woman. I'm thinking, let's say she had learned Krav Maga. What would she have done? Like he'd be on the ground with his face in the dirt. And let's say an Arab uses a gun. How do you defend yourself against a gunshot with Krav Maga? Or let's say he goes from, how are you going to defend yourself, Krav Maga? Or let's say they detonate a bomb, they blow up. Right? How does that help with, how's Krav Maga? But that's what he said. He said, it's not learning Torah if you just say Krav Maga. So first of all, that's ludicrous. And Chutz Mizeh being ludicrous, also that he said that you shouldn't learn Torah, that this is not the time to learn Torah. So the Gemara says in Maseches Makos, the Gemara says in the Pasuk, Om dos hayu raglenu b'sharayich Yerushalayim. That the Gemara darshins, what enabled our legs to stand at Melchama? The gates of Jerusalem, that people were learning Torah. And that's one Chazal, I think Makos Tafiyot. And we have a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Im b'chukosai teilechu, if you go in my statutes, if you follow the Torah, what does Rashi there say? It's like the most famous Rashi in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, probably. Shetiyu amel in b'Torah. That you learn. And what happens if you're to amel in Torah, if you toil in Torah? What's the answer? Pasuk says, v'nasati shalom ba'aretz. I'm going to give you peace in the Middle East. So here you have, from the mouth of God himself, how you get peace in the Middle East, not from learning Krav Maga, but from v'im b'chukosai teilechu, v'etz mesosai tishmoru. So first of all, it says v'nasati gishmechem v'itam, and you're going to have a good crop, and you're going to have a good parnasa. So, but not only that, v'nasati shalom v'cherev lo savor ba'aretzichem. You're not going to have any swords going through your land. So you have it in the Chumash. So how could he say something that's so blasphemous? I don't know. Afterwards I heard that he retracted. He said, no, I didn't mean Torah has no value. I don't know exactly how he was able to take that back. But you have to be very careful with your words. Maybe he really meant, we have to learn Torah, but we also have to learn Krav Maga. But I still don't think that we should learn Krav Maga. I still think we should spend our free time learning. If you want, it's good sometimes, a little bit of exercise, whatever. But you know, I think not that I'm telling you guys to go out and get pistols, but I think just having packing heat is going to be a lot more a better defense against an Arab than being able to do a little bit of karate. Although I know a guy, he's a black belt in karate, and he told me his brother is like a 6-degree black belt. I'm also a black belt. But I'm in karate, I just wear a garter when I'm done. So I was like, I go to the store and for 12 shekel, I'm a black belt. So he told me that one time he was walking down the street on Rosh Hashanah, and he was approached by a Gentile with a sharp, bladed metal utensil that we affectionately call a knife. You can cut a challah with it, you can do a bris mila with it, you can also kill another human being. It can be used for great things, it can be used for not good things. So he put a knife to this guy, this like 6-degree black belt, whatever, Jewish guy walking home from shul, like, what is he afraid of, right? This guy's got his knife. So he says, give me your money! So, before you blink your eye, this guy was on the ground with his face in the ground, the knife was out of his hand, and the Jew was on top of him. And he said to him, you're making two mistakes. The first mistake is that today is Rosh Hashanah, and we don't carry around money, so I can't give you money. And the other mistake is that if you ever do this again, I'll break all your bones. So that was hopefully I convinced him never to try that trick again. So it's good. No, it's good that Jewish people should have. We should not be katzol matevach yuval, like we say in Tachna. That sometimes we're like sheep to the slaughter. So the Jews in Europe were not being critical of them, that they went like sheep to the slaughter. They really had no choice. Everything was taken away from them, and including food, and there was really nothing that they could do. But now, the Baruch Hashem, we HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Zakas, that we have an army, so we have to use it for good things, and try to defend ourselves against our enemies. But ultimately, we don't believe that's what defends us against our enemies. I still remember in the Gulf War, this is in 19... I almost died in the Gulf War. It was Mamish Terrible. It's a true story. I almost died in the war. Not because I was a soldier, but because the first time I put on the gas mask, I didn't know how to put it on properly, and I couldn't breathe. Like, I put it on the wrong way, and I couldn't, for a few seconds, I couldn't breathe. So that was, like, very, very scary. But as you see, I eventually got my breathing back, and I still remember that I was very, very tense at that moment. Like, I'm putting on the mask, and it's not going on, and it's not going off, and I can't breathe. It wasn't funny at all. So that was that. So I remember, we had this big army, Tzahal, and everyone was doing, every time there would be a missile going over Tel Aviv, and everybody would just run to the bomb shelters. And everybody was so nervous. So why can't we defend it? There was no defense. There's no defense, also no defense today. We have Baruch Hashem, we have an army, and we thank Hashem for the army. But at the end of the day, what are you going to do? How many Arabs are there in the world? 1 billion. Try defending yourself against 1 billion people. And what are you going to do? And they're everywhere. A person wants to run away. You go to France. France today is horrible with anti-Semitism. All throughout Europe, there's terrible anti-Semitism. And that's only what makes it to the news. There are lots of things that don't... And not every time a guy spits at a Jew or threatens him or screams at him, it's going to get into the news. There are loads of things. You walk down the street in New York City. I remember I was once in Kew Garden Hills for Shabbos. In Kew Garden Hills, everyone's from there, right? No, you see Arabs walking down the street in Kew Garden Hills also. So everywhere you go, they are. And they believe, that's part of their belief, that we're really bad people. You got to get rid of us. So that's been that's what Muhammad did. If you learn a little bit of Islamic history, the Jews didn't want to accept his religion. So, if you can't convert him, kill him. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? They're Arabs. They live all over the place. They live in Jerusalem, and they live in all the territories and here and there. And they come every day to work. What are you going to do? You're going to not let any of them in. Okay, try that, and then what's the international community going to say? And then they're going to even make more of an intifada because you're not letting us work, you're not giving us parnassa. I'm saying, how do you? There's really nothing to do. There's nothing they can stop. They can train. They can do this. They can do that. But they're not only worried about the Arabs just walking around the street over here. But what would they have to worry about? Syria and Lebanon and Egypt and what they love us. All those countries. So really, we believe it's so pashut. It's so pashut that. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been keeping us alive all these years. So it's clear then that because of Torah and because of mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael is doing, that's going to be the best. That's going to be the best shmirah for Klal Yisrael. And that's. But people have to believe that. Not everybody believes that. Not everybody believes that if they come to Shir and they listen in Shir, that's going to help save Jewish people. But that's one of the assaults of our Emunah. One of the assaults of our Emunah is that if you keep Torah and mitzvahs, then Hashem helps us. And that's how we got here today. Does it make sense? Does it make sense that after 2,000 years we should all be back in Israel? Any Jew can come to Israel after 2,000. We don't appreciate it because we were born with it. That there's this notion that anybody can come to Israel and we can live here as a free people and we can learn Torah and there's so much Torah in Eretz Israel. And it was unbelievable. In 1945, the Jewish people were over. We were done with. They saved a lot of Jewish artifacts because they wanted to make a museum, the Nazis, to remember what used to be with the Jewish people. And today, you see, there was nothing left. There was all of Europe was decimated. There was, all the yeshivas, all the Torah, all the kedusha, the rabbanim. It was gone. Just a few little ashes that remained. A few Jews who could barely walk, who were starved, who were tortured. So there was nothing left in Europe. In America, there was nothing going on. Just people running after money, and everybody was losing their Yiddishkeit almost. And in Eretz Israel, there was also the English were here. The English are also a bunch of Nazis. They also hate Jews, and they were causing us a lot of tsaras. The Arabs were here, right? In Hebron in 19. Anyone heard of the Hebron riot in 1929 in Tarpat? They went to Hebron. The yeshiva of Hebron used to actually be in Hebron. Why is the yeshiva of Hebron today in Yerushalayim? Because the Arabs in 1921 they went. They started chopping off Jewish heads. It's like because they woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Their wife prepared coffee. It turned a little cold on them. They went around chopping off the wood. So that's it. So they were, and there were people were hiding. Some people survived. A lot of they were. I think 69 boys were killed. Even a few American boys were here learning. And in Eretz Yisrael, we had barely anything here. A few from people. There's almost no yeshivas. Almost nobody learning. Yet almost nothing. So what was going to be left with the Jewish people? And within a few decades, it's unbelievable what happened. And more people learning Torah. So it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's all a bracha. So that's what we're doing every day when we daven. We say Baruch Atah Hashem, that you're name should become great. It should be misbarich. It should be blessed, like it is today. That more people should learn Torah and more people should keep mitzvahs. So that's the bracha. The bracha is a lashon of ribui. So it's the Torah. The whole inyan of the Torah is to bring bracha to the world. What's the first letter of the Torah? The beis, bereishis. What's the last letter of the Torah? Le'enei kol Yisrael. So what's the last letter of the Torah? Alamed. What does that spell? Lev. Lamed is the last. The first is a beis. So you can't spell it because there are a lot of letters in between if you go from the beginning to the end. But if you go from the end to the beginning, there are no letters. So Leif, because the whole Torah is about Leif, but it starts with the blah, 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 and it starts with the bracha. Maybe a lamed is limud, and a beis is ribui. There should be a lot of learning. But also, the whole inyan of that's the inyan of bracha. Bracha is you want there to be a ribui of Hashem in the world, a lot of godliness and a lot of kedusha. So that's the bracha. So since we were talking a lot about how all the goyim are trying to kill us and that we still remain alive, I think I'm going to sing you a song that Baruch Hashem I was zocha to write and to perform on stages all over the world.
Na 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 na